Hey, Paul, let's get the messy logistics out of the way first, because I'm a big fan of getting that done early.
Sure you are.
As you well know, have you signed a new deal to be president and CEO of the Blue Jays yet? And if so, can you tell us for how many years it is?
Did you kind of phase into this question? I just thought you might. I thought you might do that at the end.
No, that's McCowan.
I did not know that was going to be. The answer to the question is that, you know, I'm here as long as Rogers wants me here. You know, I enjoy what I'm doing. I've never worked other than through a contract, but I don't work through contracts. You know, we have a job to do here. Our goal is to win the World Series and be in the playoffs, where we're not right now. At such time as they don't want me here, I'm sure they will suggest to me, you know, maybe it's time to work out some type of an arrangement where we have an organized phase out. But at the present time, the answer is I'm here, and that's kind of a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year.
Well, are you in the last year of your deal with Rogers?
Well, I signed something, but, you know, to be very frank with you, I mean, it just had a term on it, you know, and to be
right.
So at the present time, I guess you would say that I'm in the last year of it. I think that's fair. That's not wrong. But at the same point in time, we all know how these work in sports. Mm-hmm. You know, when they don't want you here, they're going to tell you, and if you don't want to be here, you know, you're going to leave. I mean, so it's as simple as that. But I like the people I work for. I like the people I work with. They've given us everything that we need, so I consider myself very fortunate. And so, you know, I have no intention in the present time of changing what I've got. But, you know, for how long, I have no idea. So if it was a one-year deal, it was a five-year deal, if it was a 10-year deal, or if it was a one-month deal, it's not really going to change how I'm going to work.
When you talk about it being a phased-in process, that would make us tend to think that you might be consulted and who eventually would be your replacement.
Well, I would think that they might ask me what my opinion would be of what we're looking for, you know, who is out there, what attributes that person should have. I think that over the years, you know, I've got a pretty good idea of what type of person you look for as the president of the baseball team. I would think that they would ask me, but, you know, it'd be entirely up to them.
Mm-hmm. Paul Beeston joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. It's safe to assume that both Alex and John are back next year, correct?
Well, I mean, I think that you can read into that. I mean, Alex, I can say for a fact, is back. I mean, you know, unless he's leaving. I mean, it's just like what we're talking about myself.
Right.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I mean, you know, he hasn't finished what he started out to do. And, you know, I'm 100% supportive of him. I think that he has done a very good job. I think we're now seeing the benefits of what happened with his development or his investment in the farm system. And I think that, you know, that's only going to be better for the future. You know, if people want to be critical of the moves that were made last year, that was done with everyone's encouragement and everyone's input. The trades were made both with Miami and with the Mets for Ari Dickey. I mean, we were all, you know, like, let's get it done. So, you know, you don't walk away and say if they don't work out the way you think they're going to work out that, you know, he was out there on his own, because he surely wasn't out there on his own.
And I guess as far as we know, we could read into John Gibbons coming back next year.
Yeah, I think you can read into that.
Okay. What is it about Alex that allows him to retain your confidence, you know, despite the fact that the team hasn't made the playoffs?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I work right beside him. I know how hard, A, he works. I know how his mind works. I think that right from the very beginning when he came in, Jeff, you know, he wanted to really break down the team, which he did do. You know, he invested in the farm system. He invested in international. I see and I have the opportunity to talk to him on a daily basis at the minimum once, but maybe 10 times in that time, because our offices are beside each other. I just know that he is going in the right direction. And, you know, we were trying to build something that was sustainable. I mean, mm-hmm. We may have fast started, I mean, you know, by, you know, the 2013 moves. But nevertheless, when you start looking at what we did then, it was to give back to the fans, you know. And Rogers made the commitment. They gave the dollars. We did what we wanted to do. And, you know, it didn't work out. But, you know, it wasn't, you know, one-year contracts that we were purchasing at that time.
Right.
And so this year, I mean, was the disappointing year. You can't blame the injuries, because everyone got injuries. You know, we had two bad road trips, one in July and one in August and one in September. Absent those two road trips, you know, we might have gone down to the last day or two, and that's really what we're trying to do. So we won 83 games this year, won 74 the year before. We got to build on that. We got to be in the playoffs next year. But, you know, that's got to be the goal, and, you know, anything other than that, you know, is going to be kind of unacceptable.
How would you describe what happened this year, and what did you learn about this team? Paul Beeston, baseball fan, what did you learn about this team?
I learned that it's a roller coaster ride, and I think right from the very beginning we had weaknesses. I mean, we all know what they are, whether it was any position in the infield, whether or not it was the relief pitching, whether or not, you know, it was the injuries. We didn't have a lot of depth. But what we did find out about ourselves is that we have some young stud pitchers that are ready to come along. And from that point of view, I think everyone looking for pitching, I mean, I think that gives us a strength going into the future. And so, you know, we get Lurie back. I mean, I hate the idea of using injuries as an excuse. But, you know, at the very end of the day, you know, we had a number of guys out for a number of games. Mm-hmm. And whether it was Edwin out for, you know, 5 weeks, whether it was Brett out for, you know, 100 games, whether it was Morrow out for as long as he was out. I mean, we just seemed to hit these injuries. And Melky Cabrera going out for effectively the month of September was another one.
Paul, TV ratings went through the roof this year. Radio ratings killed. Yet attendance at the Rogers Center fell. Now, look there. I mean, I spent 2 weeks in Manitoba and Northwestern Ontario. I saw a ton of Blue Jays merchandise. I went into bars. The games were on every bar and every restaurant around there. How do you get people out to the ballpark?
You see, I actually think, Jeff, and that we did very well this year. We almost drew 2.4 million people. Mm-hmm. You know, last year we did 2.5, but that was a huge advance sale. This year, because of the way that we performed in 2013, people took a wait-and-see attitude where they're going to buy tickets. Remember one thing. We had 13 sellouts this year. Mm-hmm. Last year we had 6. You know, I didn't think the attendance was bad at all. I don't even apologize for it. 2.4 is not bad for a team that, you know, people are waiting to prove it. And if we'd had a really good September, had we carried on in that road trip to Baltimore and the Yankees, you know, that last week against Seattle would not have been 15,000. It would have been 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of a sudden the attendance gets back to where it was. It's a slow climb to the top, and we went very quickly last year because I believe we went from 2 million to 2.5. We backed off a little bit this year, but I'm expecting to go further next year, up again next year. So I'm not worried about the attendance. I think the attendance is pretty solid. And more importantly than that, I mean, the people were in the ballpark. Those are real numbers. And more importantly than that, the people are young. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is go in and walk around the stadium, and you see how young they are. They talk about an old demographic for the games, but I was saying to my wife last night, we were watching the Baltimore game, when they were panning that, well, they panned the stats, that's a young group of people that go to the games.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that that baseball crowds are starting to get a little younger, especially here. And, you know, all I have to do is talk to the security people.
No question.
And they'll tell you, seriously. They'll tell you.
On a Saturday, it's a family atmosphere. And, you know, you've been down here when they run the bases after. I mean, you say, where did they come from? I mean, it's just a wave of people coming in from the right field gate.
You know, anecdotally, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I had tell me that the Gardner construction prevented them from going to games. You know, plus, and then, of course, on the weekend, you got the stuff that's always going on Lakeshore. I mean, at times, Paul, there seems to be a total lack of awareness on the part of people at City Hall that there's a pretty good chance 40,000 people might be going down to the Rogers Center on Saturdays or Sundays. You've come out in favor of John Tory as mayor here. Do you think he'll be a little more sympathetic to these issues? And as an aside, I'm just wondering, is there any thought about starting games later, you know, around 7:30 because of traffic?
Well, there is a couple. I mean, there's two arguments to be made there, Jeff. Let's go to number one. I mean, there's one thing that we've got to acknowledge is that the city is a very vibrant city right now, and certain of the things that we want to happen don't happen, but, you know, it might be a marathon downtown. It might be, you know, what they have for Illuminato. It might be the eating on the Danforth. It could be a lot of different things, and there's so many things that go on. But last week, you know, we had the Gardner closed from Friday night till Monday morning. You had a soccer game on. You had the Hockey for Cancer down at Ontario Place. You had a baseball game on, and you had a hockey game on. It didn't seem to make much sense, but then again, you say to yourself, when are they supposed to do it?
Mm-hmm.
When could they do it? You know, and so you start looking around, and I don't know if there's ever an ideal time, so you work with them. But this has been ever since the very beginning. This has been ever since the beginning of the Blue Jays when we were down at Exhibition Stadium. We always had problems with the traffic, and, you know, we always said it didn't make sense. So we work with them. We have to use rapid transit. We maybe have to do a deal with the TTC. We have to do a deal with GO. We got to get people in. But, you know, people found a way to get here, too.
True. Paul Beeston joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Paul, we need to talk a little bit about payroll and the relationship with the owners of the team and, frankly, this station, my employers and your employers.
Exactly.
Thank you. You and Alex have been, I mean, you've been a little bit coy when it comes to payroll, especially how much money is available for in-season moves. And I understand, look, this is a publicly traded company, and nobody has to throw open the books to anybody, but I mean, the message that a lot of fans seem to be getting is we're confident we can get money if we ask for it. Yet I think a lot of fans will take a look at what happened in the off season, what happened in spring training with Irvin Santana, what happened at the trade deadline, and they're going to say they haven't seen a lot of tangible evidence of it this year. Were there moves this year that ended up not being made because of finances? And as kind of as an aside to that, would you agree that the fans, maybe even those of us in the media, need a little more clarity as to the team's payroll and flexibility?
Maybe they need clarity, but, you know, when you start looking at, we are at $135 million, $137 million. We're not at, you know, at the $90 million range. We're not at the, you know, the $60 million range. It's been escalating. It went to 90, it went to 125, went to 137, and you know it's going higher next year.
Mm-hmm.
I can say unequivocally, and I have told Alex this, if you want to go, and I will use names, and I'm probably in trouble using names, but, you know, they have been traded subsequently, but for a John Lester or for a David Price, and you are picking up those contracts, I will flat out guarantee you that we can get the money from Rogers. Okay, Rogers has been very supportive, very understanding, brought along, but if you're not prepared to do the deal, you know, it's not going to happen. Okay, so, you know, it had nothing to do with money. But we do believe in, you know, the term of the contract. And, you know, people can take issues with it. People can take all the issues they want. But, you know, the five-year deal is where we stand right now. That doesn't limit us to going out and get a ball player that, you know, is going to cost us $600. And, you know, if we can make the, you know, the case next year for getting somebody that falls within those frameworks that we have, I don't have any problem thinking the Rogers give us some money. None, zero. And, I mean, and they've been absolutely terrific. And you may laugh at it. You may say, you know, you're going to have to prove it. Well, you know, they've proved quite a bit so far with what they've given us, and they haven't said no.
Can you get Melky re-signed this winter?
And love to.
What do you think? What does your gut tell you?
Well, everything that tells me that he wants to be back here and we want him, so that should put you in the deal zone to begin with, don't you think?
Well, why wasn't he signed midseason the way Edwin was?
Alex, that one.
Okay, that's not a quote unquote an edict from ownership
not.
Or anything.
Absolutely,
okay,
100% no.
Okay. Paul, you've been pretty clear about the Rogers Center and the need for natural grass in there. What's the status regarding natural grass? And just to be clear, you are getting new artificial turf for next season, correct?
That's 100% correct.
Okay.
And that's 100% correct. And we want grass for 2018. The grass is a huge issue, more than everybody thinks from an engineering point of view. Something I've learned over the last while we're working with the University of Guelph. We can get the light that's necessary to grow grass. We can get the absolute, you know, the water that's necessary to put on the grass. Grass needs air currents, apparently. This is something I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've got the way this has been designed, we're going to have to put in big fans, and, you know, we want to make sure that it can work.
Mm-hmm.
I was mentioning this to Doug Melvin and Gordy Ash, and, you know, they said that they had to put in big fans at their stadium in Milwaukee, you know, because it wasn't growing. It was dying. So we do have some challenges, but that's the goal. That's the, you know, we see no reason why it's not going to happen. But we have the turf for next year, and the goal is to have the grass here, accommodate the yard was up until that point in time, and we'll go from there.
So when are you looking at grass, roughly?
2018.
Is there a chance you might have an all-star game here in 2018 if you get grass?
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Because I mean, I was just looking.
It would
be
nice. It's about time. We had it. The last time we had it was 1991.
Right. It's been at 24 different venues. It's been in Anaheim at least twice, Pittsburgh twice. Are there plans to make a push for that?
There's a plan to make a request for it. Absolutely. I mean, you know, what's the word? Socialized? Is that the word that people
yes.
use these days? We've socialized it. Let me just say that. But you know, we've not put in a formal application at the present time.
Is there any concern on your part that, you know, you've got a new commissioner in Rob Manfred, and we're led to believe that you were among a group of owners who originally balked at his hiring, and I'm not going to get into the politics of that, but is there any concern on your part that he might look less favorably on the Jays because of that?
Zero. And I'll tell you why. Okay. I hired Rob Manfred back in 1997. I brought him to New York. He was a lawyer in Washington at that point in time, put him in charge of labor. Rob knows, you know, the decision. We had two people in the commissioner's office, and we had an owner in Tom Werner. There were three people. Mm-hmm. We've been in the game a long time. You knew all of them. I mean, it was a non-win situation.
Right.
Rob Manfred will be a terrific commissioner. Let's go on the record and say that. He will be a terrific commissioner. He has got an organized mind. He articulates very well. He's got great integrity. And you know what? This was not a matter of taking one guy over the other, but you had to vote for someone. And, you know, so I'm happy for Rob. I mean, everyone will support him. He will do an unbelievable job. And, you know, we go back too far that I don't think that we have to worry about. And that is not in his DNA. Vindictiveness is not in his DNA. He's mentioned it to me a couple of times that we never supported him. Mm-hmm. Don't you think we just walked away from that one? But I keep on just going back and say, well, Rob, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me because you'd still be a lawyer in New York, in Washington. So I'm taking credit for you.
Last question before he lets you run, Paul. In an interview he did on Primetime Sports, John Gibbons suggested that the clubhouse, and I'm kind of loosely, well, I'm not loosely paraphrasing. He said it wasn't the closest clubhouse he'd been around. At other times he's described the Jays as being dead-assed to some of us and full of extreme personalities, which was kind of my personal favorite. You've been around good and bad teams, you know, and you know that building a winner isn't always a linear process. There were some tough times leading up to 92-93. In your gut, how close do you think this team is to winning, and are you convinced the right clubhouse culture exists?
Yeah, I mean, what is the right culture? The culture really exists in winning clubhouses. You know, and you know that as well as I do, whether it's dressing rooms, clubhouses, you know, you can have the most disparate group of people, whether it was the Yankees or whether it was the Oaklands or whether it was, you know, whoever it might be, or we can go back to the family that was in Pittsburgh. It doesn't matter as long as you're winning. The fact that John knows about it, the fact is he's got to do something about it because he is the leader. He is the person from management that works with those players and sets the tone. The tone comes from the top. The tone is one of collegiality. But at the same point in time, you can't put in 25 people and expect all 25 people to be the same. You're going to have different personalities. The question is to manage it. And, you know, as I said to John, you know, I'd read this quote, which I thought was great on Casey Stengel, who said that the secret to managing is keeping the five guys that hate you away from the five guys who are undecided.